We all have a role to play in the room today. I have a microphone. You guys have a part to play too. But the important thing is we need Jesus to come and teach us. And so just like Derek was praying, we've asked Jesus to do that. And I want to share something that Jesus has laid on my heart this week and taught me. But for you to be able to take it home today, you're going to have to be active during the sermon. I'm not going to make you get up on stage and do jumping jacks or anything like that. I'm not even going to make you talk into a mic. We did that a couple weeks ago. But normally I like to give sermons that have very specific do this thing this week sort of guidelines. Today's sermon doesn't have that. We've got three different stories coming to you about three verses from Jesus. But each story, I want you looking for, Jesus, how do you want me to put this into my life? So you're going to hear three different stories about how people responded to these verses or saw these verses in their life. But you have to decide when you leave here, what are you going to do about it? Because today's sermon is more about a way that we look at things, a heart attitude that we have, more than it is a specific action we can all take. So let me give you a little bit of how I came to this passage this week. So some of you might feel like this lady here today as you came into church. Enrique was right here in the front. He saw me on Saturday, I think it was, or Friday. And he said, Jake, you look as tired as I feel, is what he told me. And I was like, thanks, man. Just what I wanted to hear, you know. But it's been a crazy week for me, and it has been. I have been tired. This lady looks exhausted to me, so I put her up there. Maybe you feel exhausted, even if you don't look exhausted on the outside. And for me this week, my wife had a fever on Tuesday and got sick, and so then I was doing a lot of things at home, trying to keep up with the kids and stuff. So it was a wild week for me. And on Tuesday was also one of those days that I started with a big to-do list, and then the day had a mind of its own, and people came and wanted to hang out with me or meet with me, and at the end of the day, the to-do list wasn't touched, and then I came home, and Chrissy was sick, and I got some time to pray that night as I was rocking our foster daughter to sleep. She was upset, and I was rocking her to sleep, and I was thinking about the craziness of the day and praying and feeling just totally wiped out, and a passage of Scripture came to my mind as I was praying, and so I want to share that with you. Jesus says here in Matthew 11, 28 is where we're going to start. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I got to talk to a couple of my friends this week about this passage, and one of them said those first three words, come to me, that means you have to believe. That's saying that you got to believe that Jesus has something for you, that you need him. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. As that passage came into my mind when I was feeling so tired, here's the next verse of it. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We're going to read through this passage actually again when we get to the end of the sermon. Right off the bat, one of the things I want to point out to you, though, is Jesus, he says, take my yoke upon you. And in case you're not a farmer from like 500 years ago or more, like this is a yoke. People still, in some countries, use yokes today, obviously. But a yoke is something you put a burden on, typically like an ox or something. It's a harness type of thing that you connect them to a plow or like here to a cart. So what Jesus is saying is, I have a burden on my shoulders, and his invitation is, come and take my burden onto your shoulders. And here's our final verse today we're going to read. Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, when Jesus speaks, a lot of times there's a lot of layers, a lot of lessons that you could learn as he speaks. So I asked a couple of my friends this week about, what do you think of this passage? How does this passage connect in your life? Tell me about it. And so one of them started talking to me about how, yeah, when I came, you know, coming to Jesus, life has been so good and so easy and so great. And it was Thursday. We were having this conversation. So we're right on coming off of Wednesday night. If you guys were here, Amanda gave this awesome lesson on Jeremiah 29:11. But somebody at one point said something about how good life is. And Amanda's response was, well, that's kind of candy coated, you know, and that's kind of the candy coated version. And so I stole that line from Amanda and pushed my friend with that. I'm like, well, you just told me about this verse. It's kind of candy-coated about how your life is so easy, your burdens are so light. And that made him sit and think for a minute, and he said, well, yeah, let me rewind a little bit. And he talked about how he couldn't always do things the way that he wanted to get to where he was today. So he said, in my younger days, I had done things my way that felt easy in the moment, and my life got harder and harder and harder and harder. And somewhere along the line, he decided to start doing things the way Jesus said to do them. And he brought up a very specific example. This is not the bicycle, but just an old bike. He said, for instance, it would have been a lot easier for me back when I started going to drug court to just drive myself there, even though I didn't have a license, you know, and to just drive all the other places I needed to go. And instead, I'm stuck riding a bicycle, and I'm stuck getting rides from people all the time, and day in and day out, like it wasn't the easy thing I wanted to do. But by taking those steps, he's gotten to the spot now where he can say, my burden is light. So he changed from always doing it his way and making his life harder and harder and harder to start doing it Jesus' way, which for him involved being humble enough to ride a bike and ask for rides and things like that. So that's our, remember I told you we got three stories. So that's story number one. And if you're a quick starter, maybe you're already like writing down like, okay, here's what I'm going to do about it. Okay, that's awesome. If not, we've got two more coming, okay? So maybe that's not the one for you, okay? One other story, another friend of mine just got into the Maple House, in Recovery House just down the street from us. And he was describing how he wound up there a week or two ago, a couple weeks ago now, I think. He said he was in a place where he had a lot of physical possessions, but it was a sick place for him, and he was in a sick place mentally. And he was struggling and worrying and struggling with all sorts of stuff, and he felt like, in the midst of all that struggle, he felt like the Holy Spirit pushed this phrase on him. Which, if I can flip there we go. I felt like the Holy Spirit just told him these two words over and over as he was stressing out, to just walk away from that environment. And he knew if he walked away, it meant losing a lot of possessions. And yet, he decided to do that. That's the reason he's in part of the story today. He walked away from almost everything that he had. Which you might look at that and just say, like, oh, yeah, of course that was the right thing to do. If you're in a bad spot and things are holding you back, and if Jesus tells you to, you might know in your mind that's the right thing to do. It's a challenging thing to face somebody that has just done that and just say, like, almost truly the clothing they're wearing is all that they own. That's not quite literally true, but it was close to true. So got to this point where he walked away from all that he had. That's not an easy thing, or it wasn't an easy thing for him to do. If you put yourself in those shoes, I bet it wouldn't be easy for you to do. But then he talked about, now my burden is so light. Like now Jesus has put good people in my life where there were destructive people. Now Jesus has put good things in my life for me to do where there was destructive behaviors. Now I'm free from addiction, or on my journey free from addiction. So the burden became light for this guy because he obeyed and walked away. He had this awesome line that he told me, maybe this one will click for you. He said, you know, I left a lot of things, but Jesus gave me all those things that were, any of that stuff that was good, and Jesus can give me whatever I need in the future. And this guy's working and stuff like that. I mean, it's not like he's just humming, waiting for physical stuff to come or something. I mean, like he's working and stuff, but he's left behind the things that were holding him back from being healthy in Jesus. So if you're here today and you're like, Jake, those are good stories, but I still don't have anything written on my piece of paper. Like I still don't have anything to do. I've got one more for you. It's a weird one, but but it's maybe you're weird like me, and maybe it'll connect with you. So in that verse that we read, it talked about Jesus being gentle and humble in heart, and that he would teach us. And I'm always amazed as I talk with different people and as I get taught by Jesus myself, the humility in Jesus to teach each one of us in different ways, to say whatever you bring to the table, Jesus is willing to use that as raw material to teach you important lessons, okay? And so for me, one of the raw material things I bring to the table is that I grew up, I was born in 85, I grew up in the 90s, and played a lot of video games in the 90s, so that's a little bit of the raw material. So I'm sitting in our foster kids, our twins' bedroom on Tuesday night. It's been a really rough day. I've been praying. I've got foster daughter to sleep, and the kids were on shifts that night, I guess. They hadn't told me, but they just decided one clocks out, the other will clock in. And so our foster son was upset at that point. And right before they had gotten upset, I was downstairs trying to clean everything up because it's always a chaotic place in our house after the kids go to bed. And I had the dishwasher half unloaded, which is really not a big deal, but I have a weird thing of, like, I don't like to leave stuff undone like that. So it was bugging me. And then I'm up in this room for so long with that dishwasher half unloaded, like, it was bugging me. And so I've been praying while I was getting our foster daughter sleep. And then with our foster son, it was kind of a stage deal where rocking him and then hand on his back while he's in the crib and then sitting on the floor next to him, like, he's got this radar that you can't leave too quickly, but you don't know when he's asleep and when he's not. So I'm sitting there, and it's in that zone where he might be asleep, and in my mind, I'm thinking, I can go back downstairs now and unload the dishwasher and get some more stuff done, because I need to get to bed soon, because it's late for me, which is like 9:30 now that I have little kids. Because I'm worried also that, like, Chrissy's got a fever, and I just kissed her yesterday, and, like, if I don't get any sleep, like, all this stuff's stacking up. You know, my mind is running that direction. And anyways, Jesus, as I'm sitting there and praying some and thinking some, he lays this idea on my head, which is a very weird idea. So this is Area 51. It's an arcade game, I think, from the early 90s. I don't remember exactly when. Here's why this idea came to my head. I don't know if you've ever played an arcade game before. That's okay if you haven't. I'll explain what this one is about. This one, you get a gun and nothing else, and you're shooting aliens. You know, that's the principle. It's a lot of video games like that. This one, though, you don't have a controller, okay? And if the technical term in video game design is that you're on rails in that game. So you don't get to choose, I'm going to go over here and do this thing. The screen just moves, and you have to take your shots where you want to, but you can't control where you look or any of that stuff. So it's called on rails, just like you're on a roller coaster or something. You don't get to choose where to go. So I'd been praying a couple weeks ago about, you know, Jesus, this stage of life that I'm in right now, show me how to follow you right in this stage. And parenting and lots of stuff. It's just a different stage, you know? And anyways, this is how Jesus taught me, because he is humble and gentle enough to teach me in this way. So what he said is, Jake, you know, there's certain times in my life where it's been more like a Zelda video game or something, if you're familiar with that, where you get to choose where to go and you get to decide, do I have everything I need to do this next challenge? Do I have the secret weapon to fight this boss or whatever? The stage of life, or at least Tuesday in particular, like it wasn't like that. I didn't get to choose most of the things I did that day. I didn't get to choose most of the people I interacted with that day. I didn't get to choose a lot of things. I was on rails, kind of. And all that I got to choose was, during all these sequence of events, what I was going to shoot for, if that makes sense. And if you think about it in this Area 51 game analogy, you play the game a little bit, it's very obvious you should shoot at this giant red alien, not this little green one or whatever, you know, because that one's worth more points or whatever, you know. Like, it's pretty obvious, like, that one's a big deal. And so as I was sitting there and Jesus is trying to teach me in this very humble way, I realized there's only two things that I can do right now. I can stay here in this room with our foster son a little longer, or I can go unload the dishwasher. Like, those are really the only two options available to me. And even though, honestly, like, the thing that I wanted to do was just go downstairs and unload the dishwasher, as silly as that is, I realized if I try to look at it from Jesus' perspective, what is the thing worth shooting at right now? What's the real target? It was very obvious that, like, I don't know if our foster son is asleep or not right now, but I know that for any kid and really for any adult, when you get a chance to put a little deposit in the, like, someone cares about you and will be there for you when you need them, like, I knew that was a big deal. Like, that was something that God cares about. And if Jesus were me right now, if he were stuck in my body, Jesus would care about putting that little deposit in by staying in this room until you're sure, or at least as sure as you can be, that this little boy is asleep. And so in that moment, all the worrying about being sick and worrying about getting the dishwasher unloaded and all that stuff, I realized, like, those things are, I get one shot with this moment I have. I'm going to do this right thing right now. So I stayed in that room for a long time and actually felt at peace as I sat there, because I knew, like, I'm doing all I can do in this moment, which is just to sit here and be present. And then when that moment was done, I knew, like, I care about the dishwasher, but honestly, like, it's not worth any points or whatever, you know, if we think about it, it's not really important. So I left the dishwasher half unloaded. I went to bed, and grace of God, like, eventually the dishwasher got unloaded. I didn't get sick. You know, things ended up working out. But the point for me was just a different perspective of, am I going to take in this moment and just say, whatever Jesus wants to do, that's what I'm going to shoot for. I'm not going to worry about all the things I can't control. I'm going to try to prioritize, what does he want me to do in the opportunity I'm given? Because the stage of life I feel like that I'm at, it does feel like I'm on rails to some extent. I don't get to choose everything. So like I said, those are three very different stories. And I don't have a, here's what you need to do by this afternoon to apply these stories. But I want us to reread this passage, and I want you to decide, what are you going to do about this? Like, this is an invitation from Jesus. How are you going to respond to that invitation? So here's what Jesus says. It says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus gives us this promise. If we'll believe, if we'll come to him, humble enough to say, I need help with the stuff I have on me. He says, he'll give us rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This passage has a lot to it. I don't understand all of it. I mean, anytime we think we understand all of something that Jesus is saying, we probably are closing ourselves off to learning more from Jesus. But when I read this phrase, it's a hard one for me to get my head around. Jesus is saying his burden on his shoulders is easy and light. And I talked about this with my friends who had these other stories. They talked about how incredibly strong Jesus is. You know, if he could make the wind, if he could make all these other things, he could handle this burden. But I just think about what that burden is on Jesus. And I mean, you guys, I don't have to show you a picture of it, but this idea that Jesus is about to be rejected and persecuted and tortured, and all of our sin and the punishment that we should have had is going to be put on him. That's the burden on his shoulders. And he's saying, my burden's easy and the weight is light. So when we look at the life of Jesus, what do we see? Well, the Bible tells us that God loved us enough to send Jesus to die for us. Jesus tells us that in John 15, I consider you, my disciples, my friends, and I'll lay down my life for my friends, because I love you. But the bigger theme I see about when Jesus is talking about the cross is Jesus is saying, I showed up here on earth in obedience to my Father in heaven. And I want to say the things and do the things that he does, and I want to fulfill this mission. And so Jesus made this choice of, I'm going to say no to myself in this moment in order to fulfill what God has for me, in order to do this purpose. And I think that's the thing that's in the story, all three of those stories, is there's a choice moment. Some of them are fairly petty. I mean, mine was a petty choice about the dishwasher, but there's a choice between my priorities and just laying all of my worries and priorities aside and saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow your way. And when you make that choice, I think things do get light. You're no longer juggling. You're just carrying one thing. You have one burden to fulfill whatever Jesus has given you to do, to follow that pattern of dying to yourself and rising to new life.